Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
You know, I have a passion, a biblical passion, a biblical purpose. I wonder if you guys could ever articulate what your biblical purpose is or what your biblical passion is. And I know mine because it drives me. I wouldn't be doing what I do today if it wasn't for this passion. And you've heard the scripture so many times now, you should be able to quote it in your brain without me even opening it up. It's John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. And so basically, whenever you see me or whenever you hear me, you'll always know that what I'm trying to do is to see the enemy that is robbing people's lives defeated in their lives. And so last week we spoke on overcoming temptation. Tonight I'm going to speak on defeating depression, because depression is one of those things that, believe it or not, we all have or we all face in some way. Looking back to my younger years, I would think now, looking back, that I was probably the most miserable person around. Would that be true, Chris? Why are you laughing? Yet, believe it or not, I wouldn't have thought that I was miserable. I wouldn't have thought that I was a depressive person. But one day, Pastor Hal called me into his office. And now, I always used to think going into Pastor Hal's office was when you put the book down the back of your pants because you're in trouble. And he said, "Graham, I want to talk to you." And then he just said to me these beautiful words: "You are the most depressive person I know, and it's not nice being around you sometimes." Now, that was not a nice thing to say. It really wasn't. I'm glad. Is Pat here again? Thank you, Pat. Keep talking, Pat. You're doing a good job. Once I got over my self-pity and the shock of being told the truth, I set my face to beat it. And that's exactly how I saw it. Okay, how dare he say I'm a depressive person? I'll show him it isn't true. And that's how I felt. If I was a depressive person and I was not nice to be around, then I was going to beat it. And that's basically how God has taught me to overcome all things. If that's me and I know it, then I'm going to beat it. What I've since realized is that everybody in this room faces or wrestles with depression at some stage of our lives. Every one of us experience a dark day or a blue mood, as some have said. Or some might just say, "I'm just feeling a bit down today." That is the start of depression. That is the start of that heaviness. Depression is considered to be the most common mental or emotional problem affecting mankind today. Now, I'm not going to ask you to show me, but I'd guarantee you there'd be lots of people in this room already on some form of sedative that the doctor has given you because he's told you that you're depressed. This is not a condemnatory sermon. This is a victory sermon. It's claimed that more human suffering has resulted from depression than any single disease. In fact, depression can and often does lead to hopelessness, which often then is outworked into suicide. Dave Burt was talking to us yesterday, and I was staggered at the suicides that he's attended this year in junior and senior football clubs. However, when we talk about depression, I want you to know that it's not inevitable. I know for myself it can be avoided and it can be overcome. I was surprised when I started to look at depression and when I started to find out what the Bible said, because that's how God's taught me to deal with everything. What does the Bible say? Because once I know what the Bible says, then I can stand on that and I can win. I was surprised to find that the word depression is not in the Bible. I would have thought there would be the word depression. However, believe it or not, there are countless references to this problem. As you start to walk through the Bible, you'll find that Moses was depressed, Job was depressed, David was depressed, Elijah was depressed, Jonah was depressed, Peter was depressed, and even Paul, the great Paul, was depressed. In the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah expresses his deep depression. In Numbers 11, 10 to 15, Moses was overwhelmed with depression in the wilderness. Listen to what he said to God. I can't carry all these people by myself. The load is far too heavy. If this is how you intend to treat me, just go ahead and kill me now. Do me a favour and spare me my misery. That's depression. In Job 3, Job was so consumed with despondency, he said these words, and I can actually hear people saying these things. I've listened to people say these things. This is in the Bible. This is in Job 3. If you don't believe me, read Job 3. It's the most uplifting chapter. It says, obliterate the day I was born, please. Rip the date off the calendar. Why didn't I die at birth? This is Job talking to God. What's the point of life when it doesn't make sense? The worst of my fears have come true. What I dreaded most has happened. I've always said that scripture like this. What you fear most comes upon you. So I fear being a millionaire. Okay, but in this case, Job was so despondent, so heavy, so down, that he was wishing he was dead. And I think that's that hopelessness that often leads to suicide in people's lives. They have no way out. They don't know the way out. And the only thing that they can think of doing to help them in their misery is killing themselves. In Psalm 43, verse 5, I hope you're all being uplifted here. You're all feeling good? That's great. David cries out and says, why are you down in the dumps, my soul? Why are you crying the blues? That's the Message version. In Matthew 26, Peter experiences deep depression after he denied Christ three times. When he realized that what Christ had said about him, the one that he loved, had said about him, had come to pass, the Bible tells us that he was in deep depression. And then in 2 Corinthians 1:8, Paul says, we were under such a great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so much so that we despaired of life itself. And again, you've only got to read through some of Paul's journeys to realize that there were times when life was pretty tough. So what are the reasons? What are the causes of depression? The most common cause of depression is stress. And stress comes in many forms. Life filled with all sorts of difficulties, disappointments, setbacks, tragedies. If they're not handled properly, they'll gradually wear us down. There are people in this room right now, you've got jobs that have deadlines. You've got things that you're going to face this week that your boss expects you to do. If you don't handle those trials, those difficulties, those deadlines, those job descriptions that you've got properly, then that can lead to depression. Pastor Hal used to say to me, Graham, if you're not happy at home and you're not happy at work, you've got a miserable life. And there are some of you in this room right now that you're not happy at home. You're not happy at work. There's areas of your life that you need to deal with. Because if you don't, this is where Satan comes to steal, to kill and destroy, where he starts to layer upon layer upon layer heaviness till finally he's robbed you of life to the full. And if you're being robbed right now, then you know that Satan is behind it. Depression can always and also be tracked back to negative thinking. I said last week, a little ditto that I learnt long ago when I was dealing with the battle of my mind. Sow a thought, you reap a deed. You sow a deed, you reap an action. You sow an action, you reap a habit. And you sow a habit, you reap a lifestyle. It all starts with our thought patterns. It all starts with what we allow to stay in our brain box. You know, when Hal told me that I was a depressive person, I started to look at why I was a depressive person, why I was so miserable, why I wasn't nice to be around. First of all, the job I had, and I was working here and I was working for him, I was a fault finder. Part of my job as the administrator, as the person that looked after the running of this place in the areas that I did, was to look for things that could go wrong. And so all of my life I was looking for things that would go wrong. But then I looked a little harder and thought, well, why is that such a problem? And the problem was that I had a fear of men. I was trying to do my job to please Hal Oxley. Now, I've spoken to him about this, and we love each other, as you know, so this is not his problem, this is my problem. I'd grown up with insecurity, I'd grown up with rejection, and those things were the things that I'd allowed to stay in my life that finally built my life to such a point that I was miserable to be around. I had to change my stinking thinking. And so the first thing I did is I changed my job title from fault finder to problem solver. Now, it sounds really, really simple, doesn't it? But it's true. If you change your stinking thinking. And so I wasn't going around anymore looking for faults. I was going around looking for things that I could solve. Same job, different thinking. And I've told you before, when God was dealing with my life in regard to rejection, I dealt with the fear of man. I started to realize I wasn't working for Hal Oxley. I was working for God, and God had called me, and God loved me. Hal loved me, by the way. He still does. And so our stinking thinking will have a great influence on our emotions, on our attitudes, and on our will. Have you ever noticed when you're hanging around people who are negative, people who are depressive, they always have a pessimistic outlook. If you talk to them, they'll always tell you the dark side. There are some people, I don't ask them how they are because they're going to tell me something miserable. Many people who suffer from depression have an incredibly negative view of themselves. They have little or no self-esteem. They often feel inadequate and useless. They minister self-doubt and criticism to themselves by the way they think and by the way they talk. Negative thinking only encourages despair and self-pity. And obviously it's a habit that we have to break. And it is a habit. Remember, sow a thought, reap a deed, sow a deed, reap an act, sow an act, reap a habit, sow a habit, reap a lifestyle. It is a habit. And that habit started because of a thought. And you acted upon it. If you're going to deal with habits, you've got to start changing your thinking. A person can also experience depression because they've got unresolved sin in their life. Depression, I think, can be a result of ignoring sin or failing to deal with something that God has shown you, to the point that, again, you start to think about yourself in a condemnatory, guilt, shame way, which again opens the door, opens the crack for Satan to start getting in. When we try and cover up sin, it inevitably will take its toll. And in some cases, that toll is depression. Remember, Satan is out to steal, to kill and destroy. And depression taken to its end will destroy you. Another area that causes depression is physical factors. Lack of sleep, improper diet, lack of exercise. Every one of these areas can contribute because, again, you think about yourself. You think about what you can't do, why you look like you look, etc., etc. A healthy body is less susceptible to mental and physical illness. Think about that. A healthy body is less... That's a hard word for me to say. Susceptible. You know what I mean. To mental and physical illness. Depression manifests itself in a range of ways. Listen to this. See how many you can put your hand up for. Sadness, pessimism, fear, apathy, weariness, fatigue, loss of energy, lack of enthusiasm, an inability to make decisions, desire to withdraw from life, self-criticism, a sense of worthlessness, helplessness, a loss of interest in work and sex and normal activities. Guys might not have that. Difficulty in concentrating, insomnia, a loss of appetite. In short, depression has many side effects which can and are and will be incredibly destructive. So what's the root? What's the real root? One of my bugs with doctors, and if there's a doctor here, please forgive me, I'm not being critical, but one of my bugs is that too many doctors treat what I call the fruit of depression. They give you a pill because you're depressed. But the only way to kill something is to get rid of the root. And so a pill might mask the problem, but you have to deal with the root. And I think the root problem of depression is sin. Now, before you shoot me, listen to what I'm going to say. I'm not saying that the root of all depression is sin, but I am saying our failure to deal with depression is sin. If I knew, well, I did know, Pastor Hal told me, that I was a depressive person, it was at that point that I had a choice. Choice of life or death, blessing or cursing. It was a choice of being an overcomer or not being an overcomer. Somebody who loved me had showed me an issue of my life that needed to be dealt with. Now, I know that Hal would have walked with me and helped me through it if I'd needed it. But I didn't. I just needed the Word of God. But I did need him to bring light in darkness. And I'm glad he told me. I'm glad that he was such a man of love that he was prepared to share with me the way he was. Once we know that we have an issue in life, no matter what it is, if we don't deal with it, the Bible tells us that's sin. If you don't believe me, listen to this scripture. So any person who knows what is right to do but does not do it, to him it is sin. That's James 4:17. So there might be things that you have in your life that might not be sin to me, but might be sin to you. Even though we may not be responsible for the circumstances which contribute to discouragement and depression, we are responsible for handling depression God's way. And the first step to our victory is focusing upon Christ rather than ourselves, taking self off the throne. You know, when I put this sermon together and when I look at some of the things that God has walked me through over my life, it comes down to some pretty clean little things. What does the Bible say? Satan is out to steal, to kill and destroy. I have to win the battle for my mind. And taking self off the throne. When self is on the throne, God never wins. So what's the answer? First, stop listening to the father of lies. One of Satan's greatest lies is to let us think that there's no hope. As Christians, we need to understand and know that there is no such thing as a hopeless situation in Christ. I have heard and listened to people talk in a depressive way around a world system that we live in. Yeah, it's yuck. Yeah, there's many things that are not nice about our world right now. But if God's word says all things work together for good, then guess what? They do. If God says he appoints the kings and the priests, then he does. So if, I won't say a party gets in, but if they do, and if another man gets into power, one that is not a godly man, then guess what? God had a part to play in that. And God knows what we need. So let's focus on Christ. Let's focus on his word. When we don't bring Christ or God's word into the picture, we will allow ourselves to become hopeless. The only way that we can, that I did, defeat depression was God's way, not my way. Obviously, I tried to do it my way and it didn't work. When you read through the Bible, particularly David, and you look at the Psalms, it's amazing how many Psalms start off with a lamentation, with a negative, and finally end up with a positive. How many times David talks about being depressed? How many times David talks about being low? How many times David shares his heart about being miserable. But as you walk through the scriptures, especially the Psalms again, you will see that David defeated his depression in numerous ways. And I'm going to give you some of David's keys right now. The first thing that David did when he knew that he was down in the dumps was he took action immediately. One of the most important things that we can do is to deal with the feelings or the thoughts of depression quickly. You know, if you're thinking already about the job that you've got to go to tomorrow or the things that you've got to face tomorrow, or even when you go home tonight and that starts to weigh you down, then that's the time when you take action and when you start to do some of the other things I'm going to share about in a minute. Unfortunately, one of our tendencies is to brood over our problems, to dwell on them, to allow self-pity to rise up. Maybe talk to a few other people who are like Job's comforters. Why don't you curse God and die? You know, sometimes the worst people we can be around are people who are going to sympathise with us instead of smacking us in the face and telling us to get up. If you don't face and take action immediately, you allow that depression to be reinforced. And if you allow it to be reinforced and to remain, it will spread like cancer. It will corrupt every area of your life. And so, first thing you need to do is take immediate action. The next thing that you need to do is to discipline your thoughts. Now, we've talked a lot about that. One of my most favourite scriptures for dealing with my mind is 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. We'll just read verse 5. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Hence, what does the Bible say? I've already talked about negative thinking, but if we don't bring our thoughts into line quickly with God's word, then they will become destructive. A fantastic scripture if you want to help your mind in regard to its thinking is Philippians 4:8. Well, Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. But then it goes on in Philippians 4:8, and it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. In short, don't let negative thinking hang around in your brain. If you know that your mind is thinking on negative things and you're dwelling on things that are dragging you down, then go and find something that fits in to Philippians 4:8 and start to think on those things. If you're going to win over depression, you've got to look at your life, your situations, and you've got to look at your future from God's eyes. We've sung about that tonight. You know, I love the songs that our worship team choose and teach us. Such incredibly positive confessions. I'm no longer a child of fear because I'm a child of God. You know, what an incredible thing. That lifts me up every time we sing that song. So we need to think on what God's word says. We need to hope in the Lord. David, in one of his psalms, challenged his soul, and the challenge was, hope in the Lord. We have to place our hope in God. Your problems are not going to help you. Focusing on them are not going to help you. Only God can help you. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Don't wait until you see them. Don't wait until something starts to happen. Faith will be built as you have your hope in God. David said in Psalm 31, be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. We need to stand on the promises of God, and that's what I've been talking about all night already. Our default has to become the word of God. Has to be again, what does the word say? We have to know that if the Bible says all things work together for good, then they do work together for good. Doesn't mean that they are good. Doesn't mean we have to agree with them and like them. But we know that God will use it for good somewhere, sometime. In short, we have to trust the reality of God's word. The Bible, if from my point of view, and I hope yours contains all the answers to life's problems. There's not one thing that will not help me in the Bible get through. All I need to do is find it. And the Bible also tells me that if I don't know it, then the Holy Spirit will reveal it to me. David said, "My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word." One of the things that we need to do, another one, and Nick spoke on this some months ago, is to rejoice in the Lord. In short, praise. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." As you start to praise God, as you start to thank God, as you start to rejoice in God for all things, it's amazing how your thinking changes. It's amazing how your demeanor changes. I believe that praise is our way of escape from depression. The answer is not trying to run away from our circumstances. You know, well, I'm going to move and get a job in Perth because then I won't have the problem. Guess what? They go with you. It's not divorce. It's not murder. It's not anything. It's starting to rejoice. It's starting to rise above your problems by praising God. Unfortunately, some people only rejoice when things are going good. But Paul again says, "Rejoice forevermore in everything." Not in some things, in everything give thanks. Second last thing that David used to do was to confess his faults to the Lord. 1 John 1 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." As I said before, sin can be a cause of depression or a product of depression. The only way to deal with sin is to confess it and to ask forgiveness, to take away the legal hold that Satan will use to try and weigh you down. When you get rid of that burden, when you let that peace come into your life, then it's amazing how you can look and face your problems in such a different way. When you know that your sins are as far as the east is to the west in God's sight. When you know that you can keep coming back and asking God again and again and again to forgive you when you slip. Then that makes a mammoth difference to the way you look at life. And then finally, we talked about health. I think we must watch our health. As I said before, physical factors play an important role in depression. Poor health habits contribute to our depression. And we can prevent those if we just give proper attention to the way we live our lives and the way we exercise, sleep, etc., etc. If you're depressed and you stay up all night watching telly because you're having trouble going to sleep, then you're only adding to your problem. It's not helping you. So, let me close. Depression is a problem, but depression is not an impossible barrier. Depression is not a permanent condition. I know. Depression will pass away with God's assistance. I don't have a problem with medical science. I don't have a problem with pills. I do have a problem when we don't deal with the problem. And so you might need a pill. You might need the assistance of a doctor. You might need the assistance of a professional to help you and to guide you, a counsellor of some sort. All I'm asking today is you determine that you're going to beat the root of depression. You find out what's causing it. You ask God to show you what's causing it. And you start to apply his word. And I guarantee you that you will have deliverance. No doubt about it. We can overcome depression by following God's prescription. Take immediate action. Discipline our thoughts. Hope in God. Trust in his word. Rejoice in him. Confess our sins. And look after our physical bodies. I'd like you all to stand tonight. Andy, can you pick a song for me, please? Sky, Andy, sorry. I'd like you just to not look around. Close your eyes so you're not looking around yourself. If you're suffering from dark days, blue moods, depression, heaviness, whatever you want to call it, then you know that it drags you down. You might not be someone that's always in depression, but that you find yourself being negative. You find yourself like I was, miserable to be around sometimes. And you don't like what you see. And today God has highlighted something in your life and you want to deal with it. Just put your hand up for me. Okay, that's great. Put your hands down. Father, you know the ones that put their hands up. And Lord God, right now I don't want to embarrass them by dragging them down the front for an altar call just so that everybody can look at them. But Lord, I pray that you would touch them by your Spirit right now. And that this day, Lord God, they will know that with you all things are possible. That Father, you who hath begun a good work in them will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. That Father, they can be conquerors. Lord God, I think of those ones that have raised their hands that have carried these burdens for a long time. And Lord God, have not been able to recognize what the factor is, what the cause is. Lord, I pray that you would reveal to them right now those factors, whether it be stress, whether it be, Lord God, negative thinking, whether it be sin, whether it be other physical things. Lord God, whatever it might be, that you would expose to them as you did me. Lord God, as I sought your face, as I allowed you to reveal yourself to me, Lord God, that I know that you can do the same for them. Because I know your word is the same for them as it was for me. And so, Lord, I pray that you would move by your power, that you'd move by your Spirit. And right now, we speak and stand against that word depression. And we use that name, Jesus, which is above every name. Depression, you are under Jesus, and you are subject to Jesus. And Lord, I pray that the name of Jesus would be lifted high over each person's life right now. And Father, we would walk not only in victory, but we would walk in abundant life. And that people would notice the change. As Lord God, we walk around whistling and singing and looking happy instead of speaking negatively. Lord, move by your power, I pray, even now in Jesus' name. Amen.